Hello, and welcome to the Untitled Female Driven Podcast. We are three film and television writers who are here to talk about how to make it as professional writers in the entertainment industry. This podcast covers what we wish we'd known when we were getting started, and you can learn the easy way what we learned the hard way. I'm Jess Cho. I mostly write for television.
I'm Hannah Rosner. I also mostly write for television.
And I'm Erica Schreiber, and while I mostly write for features, today I get to do something totally different and fun. We've been talking about doing this episode for a while, and we decided to go a little crazy and do what's technically called a bake-off, but which we have somehow decided is actually called a shake and bake.
And by we, you mean that I mistook it for shake and bake for some reason, and you guys were nice enough to go along with it for a while.
I really like shake and bake better than bake off. So
agreed.
I'm just going to call it that from now on and see if anyone notices. And then if someone's like, do you mean a bake off? I'm going to be like, no, yeah.
Clearly, the people in the know, they call it a shake and bake.
So a bake off, a shake and bake off is basically when many writers pitch on an open writing assignment, a job that the execs don't necessarily know what they're looking for, but they feel like they'll know it when they hear it, right? So like they've got some piece of IP or some idea, and they want to hear as many takes on it as is reasonable, which we can get into some other day about why all of this is unreasonable. So they hear from multiple writers, and they either choose a writer or they choose no writer, which is always hilarious, and be like, I guess we don't want to do this after all. But basically, what Hannah and Jess are going to do is they are going to pitch their takes, and I am going to pretend to be the exec at, let's say, MGM, who has put out this open writing assignment.
I need a little bit of backstory on you as the executive.
Oh, sure. You know, I graduated from UCLA, and then I got a job in the mailroom at WME. I worked my way to becoming a lit assistant. And then from there, I made the jump to development coordinator over at a very cool production company and rose through those ranks until I was a junior exec. And then MGM offered me a job as the vice president of, I think we're saying feature development, right? So now I have a house because I'm an exec that I am always renovating.
Yes, always renovating. Yes, you have a lot of succulents.
You have a pool that you've never used.
Never used it.
But
you
think about using it all the time.
I do. This bake-off pitch will definitely be interrupted by some family member while you're pitching to me. I may or may not remember to mute before telling them to fuck off. I'm working.
Yes.
Mom's working.
Yes. And you'll have a venti Starbucks caramel macchiato next to a kombucha.
Yeah. This sounds like me. So that's who I am. You two are writers who I have met with in the last year who I liked and who I reached out to your reps to say, I have this OWA. I would love to hear from Hannah and Jess what their take would be. And the specific property is we want to do Three Little Pigs in Space.
Hell yeah. I heard about this through my reps. They came to me and said, Erica has an amazing OWA. She would love for you to do a little bit of free work. By a little, I mean a lot. And come in and pitch this thing. Hannah, do you want to go first or shall I?
Well, I just want to give our audience a disclaimer that we are not improv experts, nor are we comedians at all. None of the three of us strictly write comedy. So you're all in for a really hilarious look at what happens when three not comedy writers try to, on the spot, completely improvise a story about Three Little Pigs in Space.
How this would go is we'd hop on the Zoom. Jess and Hannah would probably attempt to make small talk with me.
But not at the same time, right? It's like you would meet with one of us and then
right.
the other.
That
would
We're
be hilarious, though, if they
did. Oh, my God. That would be quite the bake-off if you have to do it in front of the other writers. So, yeah. So while we're pretending this is two separate meetings, we're going to just act, you know, we're just going to keep talking.
We're going to talk you guys through how this would actually go down if everyone was sober and we were doing this for real and money was on the line. Luckily, none of those things are true. So it's going to be a lot more fun than an actual bake-off. No, but what we decided to do was Jess and I each are going to develop a take, which we sort of developed, quote unquote, you can't see my air quotes, but I'm making air quotes. About 2 minutes ago, we each came up with our take, aka our weigh-in, how we would do this story. And we're going to just sort of try to just fly through the fake version of a real pitch. It's gonna be fun.
Let's get started. Three Little Pigs in Space. Like, you noodled on it. What have you come up with? I'm so excited to hear.
You know, everyone knows the story of the Three Little Pigs, but what's the real heart of this story? What's the story really about? And I thought about when I was a child, my dad always used to tell me to never judge a book by its cover. And I learned the hard way why you should never judge a book by its cover, because one day I took a stack of books out of my family library and I gave them to a friend, you know, someone I had a crush on. And when they opened the books, they were not the books that had the covers that they were given. My dad had actually truly switched all of those covers. It was an embarrassing, humiliating moment. And I realized my dad is right. We can't judge people by their outward appearance. And that's why my take is I want to do the Three Little Pigs, but from the point of view of the wolf. You know, he's a guy who has been judged for being a wolf. You know, all the pigs think he's scary. They think that he is going to eat them. And, you know, to be fair, yeah, he's a carnivore. He eats pigs. Who doesn't, right? But he doesn't want to be a villain. He's actually the hero of our story. So that's my personal connection. And you know, that really gets into the theme of what this movie is really about. It's about prejudice and overcoming the discrimination of others and just being yourself.
Cool. All right. So that's the beginning of Hannah's take. So let's have the same meeting. Chess, let's hear this take that I'm being paid to hear and you are not being paid to give.
So for Three Little Pigs in Space, I mean, we kind of know what the themes of Three Little Pigs are. If you put in the time to make something good, you'll live. But to me, it's also a story about survival and don't trust strangers. And so when I think about Three Little Pigs in Space, I immediately think of a combination of that Denzel Washington movie, Fallen.
Yeah. I unmute and we have this awkward moment so I can say yeah while also nodding as if you couldn't have seen that.
Sure. But for anyone who hasn't seen it, it's a pretty good movie. It's about a detective who's investigating a series of murders that leads to like with an occult connection, and there's a supernatural element to it as well. So Three Little Pigs in Space is basically that movie combined with the Ryan Reynolds space movie, Life. So it all takes place in a space station, just floating out on Earth. And we have our three little pigs in the space station. And suddenly one member of their crew gets infected by some sort of alien spore, some sort of alien consciousness. And that fourth crew member becomes the proverbial wolf. But everyone trusts proverbial wolf. And so then it just becomes pure horror movie of who's going to be duped by this proverbial wolf, who's going to be eaten and consumed, and who's going to survive. Now, my headline, my way in, is when I grew up on the space station, my father always told me, never judge a book by its cover. And no, I'm kidding. Just taking
it. I was like, ooh, this is actually...
The best part is that we totally were like, okay, we're gonna still, you know, riff off of each other and help each other out. And as I'm listening, I'm like, I'm getting very competitive. I'm like, damn it, that's good. I wish I had thought of that.
There's a great side note here of like, when you ask for a bunch of takes, some of them are probably going to be similar. But these two, we specifically were like, let's make these two takes dissimilar. But like, that is a thing that absolutely happens.
And so the reason why I'm taking this part of the assignment not as seriously as perhaps other parts of the assignment is because I understand why it's useful in a pitch to be like, this is my personal connection to the story. This is what I bring that no one else can bring. But when you have a story that is as crazy as Three Little Pigs in Space, it's really hard for me to be like, well, back in the day when I was growing up in the barn next to my fellow pig siblings, or back in the day when I was growing up on the space station, at that point, you're just sort of, at least I always feel, and maybe this is a sign I'm a hack and I should quit. But I always feel like I have to draw these weird, like crazy, tenuous, slightly bullshit connections between like the OWA and myself. And it's just like, I'm just checking off that box of that part of the assignment.
And as an exec, I'm expecting to hear it so that box gets checked. I'd be like, yes, check. Jess has a personal connection. Yes, check. Hannah has a personal connection. That makes me feel better about hiring one of you to you know, like, because if this goes poorly, my job's on the line too, you know? So if we spend $1 million developing Three Little Pigs in space and we don't make it, or we make it and it flops, like, I'm done.
You make a really good point, Jess, that, like, you cannot, I know we're being totally absurd. And obviously my dad didn't switch around all the book covers of the books when I was a child just to.
But as an exec, I ate up your humiliation.
But it's like, you do have to be genuine at a certain point. If you're tasked with coming up with a take about something that is pretty outlandish and absurd, I don't know about you guys, I think it's okay to not just bullshit that you grew up on a space station surrounded by other little pigs and just be like, this is why I want to do it. Like, this is why I love this source material or something. Like, there's a project that I kind of took a swing and went out for recently. And I was like, oh, I should probably come up with a personal connection. And the subject matter was is grief and death. And I was like, I'm not just going to try to, it feels really disingenuous and weird to be like, I have this really deep, dark trauma with grief that's deeper and darker than any other writer that you're going to meet. I was like, no, that's just not, that's not true.
Yeah, it's a bake-off, not a grief-off. All right, cool. So now I'm like, okay, as an exec, I'm like, I've heard the way in, right? I've heard the personal connection. I've heard the very, very broad strokes of each of their takes, right? You can structure your pitch any way you want. The way we've kind of chosen to do it for this is to talk next about themes. So this is the point in which they explain to me what their movies are really about.
Right. Well, you know, I got into it a little bit with my personal connection, which generally I was being completely absurd and facetious, but you do want your personal connection to seamlessly work into your theme. Like, I think if you tie the two together, this is a thing that happened in my background that relates to this story that we're talking about. And you kind of use that as your transition into the theme. So what is this movie about? As I said before, it's about prejudice and overcoming discrimination. And maybe it's also about being comfortable in your own skin. If you're a, quote, big bad wolf, just because you're a wolf, does that mean you're big and bad? Not necessarily, right? So, and what we're going to learn over the course of this pitch about Three Little Pigs in Space from the point of view of the wolf is that maybe the, quote, unquote, victims, the pigs, are actually the villains of the story.
That's very cool.
It's pretty obvious what that says about today's world, right? And why we shouldn't judge people.
To me, this is one of those big, fun jump scare, like shit your pants kind of movie. You're in it for the thrill of it. You're in it to see who survives. And maybe you'll learn something along the way. I always loved that the last little pig that survived was the one who built the brick house, because the brick house is the hardest house to build out of the sticks and the straw, right? And so I just love the fact that the pig who put in the most work up front is the one that got to survive, because that ties into everything that I've ever been taught by my family, which is you put in the work up front and then you get to survive. The idea that it's the person who puts in the most work up front, the smartest pig, that's the one who survives. Not the strongest, not the prettiest, not the most popular. It's the pig who puts in the work. And so that's what I want to explore.
As an exec, I'm loving that you have gotten too personal with it.
Also, I think Erica, the exec's ears perked up when you said that you wanted the audience to shit their pants. She was like, finally, someone's going to make a movie that's going to make viewers shit their pants in
the theater. Right, we're going in a bold direction here. On the other hand, I am also super impressed as an exec of Hannah's way of just turning this whole thing on its head, right? That it's like this, you know, as an exec, I love it when people take a thing that's totally normal and then find a way to tell it differently so that I get to be like, oh, I made a bold choice, you know, and everyone's like, good job, you exec.
Something we've skipped over that I actually do see and hear a lot in pitches and what execs are looking for is the why now. And what they mean is, why is this relevant today? Why do audiences care?
Wait. No, this is me interrupting as an exec. You ready?
Yes. You're doing great.
Hannah, Jess, yes, totally with you. My real question, though, is why now?
So we're going to get more into this later when I get into the setting and the world, but I'll just say that why now? We're living in a society that is, you know, we live in a very capitalist society here in America. There's a lot of exploitation. You know, we're starting to see, though, evidence of socialist revolutions happening within, you know, between Starbucks unionizing and Amazon, and there's a lot of labor movements happening, right? Where that comes into this story is those three little pigs I told you about, those supposedly innocent little pigs, they have all colonized different moons of Jupiter, I guess. And they have, each of their moons of Jupiter has a different resource. And that's what they've used to build their proverbial house, shall we say, right? So in the original story, the three little pigs, you know, one builds a house of straw, one builds a house of wood, one builds a house of bricks. Well, in my version of the three little pigs in space, they have each colonized a new moon. They've got Strawtonium, they've got Woodarian, and they've got Brickolium. But the first two, the straw people and the wood people, they've been exploiting their workers. They've been working them too hard, not giving them bathroom breaks, and they're not sharing their resources with any of the other colonies, right? But the brick guy, he's all about sharing. Brickolium is going to be the next green energy. And so that's why, you know, spoiler alert, Brickolium is going to be the pig that befriends the wolf instead of judging him and assuming that he's bad. He's going to be the one that brings him in. And it's just going to be a commentary on capitalism and exploitation in today's society.
Super important exec question that definitely would come up. But how do we keep this from feeling too politicized so that we don't alienate too much of our audience? Ugh. You know, just by like standing up for the right thing.
Just shuddering and
dying quietly in the corner. Yes, but please continue, Hannah.
Well, it's all going to be an allegory. We're never actually going to talk about any of the isms, socialism, capitalism, fascism. It's all going to be sort of tucked in the vegetables, aka the political leanings of this story, are all going to be sort of baked into a fun action comedy in space. And we're never actually going to use these words. We're just going to have metaphors for them.
Thank you so much, Hannah. Thank you for making me feel like I get to pretend to take a risk without any of the actual risk of taking a risk. That is what I'm looking for.
You're welcome. That's what
as an exec.
That's what they don't pay me for.
Also, I was going to say, Hannah, like Zootopia.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which has had all of these interesting, say, racial commentary without ever saying race because they're animals.
I know. They did it. They turned a thing that seemed to be about sexism and made it about racism. And that movie's fucking brilliant.
The movie is great.
Shall we continue? So tell me, Jess, why now?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked that, Erica. First of all, in our current climate, when things just seem so dire and so depressing and bleak, I think it would be a good opportunity to give audiences a mindless horror movie where they can just shut off their brains for a bit and enjoy themselves, if horror is their particular thing. However, if you're looking for a more serious answer to give to your bosses, then perhaps you could tell your boss that since this movie thematically is around resilience, then I feel like resilience has never been more important than it is today. With the current political climate, with climate change, with all of these things that are happening around us, this is a movie about never giving up, even in the face of impossible adversity, while also having really cool gory stuff and some mindfuckery and some great special effects.
Damn,
thank
that's
you,
good.
Jess, for presenting a completely apolitical why now that I can totally take to my bosses. Let's talk about your characters.
You know, there's the obvious. There's the big bad wolf. Obviously, he's the hero of our movie. And you want to make sure, I'm just going to dispense with the improv for a second. Well, you do want your character to be, interesting and unique and sort of a twist on some archetype that we've seen before. So in my version, right, it's the good, misunderstood wolf. He's not bad, even though all of his friends are bad. They love doing bad stuff like blowing down houses of poor, unsuspecting, you know, creatures. But not this guy. He's a vegetarian. He hasn't had pork ever since, you know, he was a child, and he made friends with a little pig. So he's actually got a good heart. So that's our main character. And then our villains are, like I said, the two exploitative, greedy colonists of Strawtarion and Woodarion, respectively, the other planets surrounding or moons.
As an exec without much imagination, I will always appreciate you mentioning an actor or character from another movie. So I have an image of my head of, so I don't have to actually invent something new in my brain.
Okay. Picture this. It's Hugh Jackman.
Ah, yes, I do love Hugh Jackman.
You know, everyone knows him as the Wolverine, but do they know him as the Wolf?
Oh, ooh. Wow. That's good. That's good. I'm picturing Hugh Jackman. Okay, cool. See, now when you tell the story, I'm just thinking of Hugh Jackman, which is never a bad thing for me to think about as...
Who's your main character, Jess?
Well, I've been thinking about this for, you know, the past 20 minutes. And, and so I think... Because this is going, I'm pitching this as like a sort of like summer fun blockbustery type movie. I'm going to lean pretty hard into archetypes of characters, right? I'm going to have the stoic, possibly verging onto like toxic masculinity character. I'm going to have my goofball class clown, the comic sidekick who makes it through 2/3 of the way of the movie and then gets got. And then I'm going to have my hero, my quiet, unassuming, yet incredibly wonderful hero. And then, of course, I have the bad guy. And the bad guy is going to be sly and devious, and you think that he or she is actually pretty great, but turns out she's crazy.
Nice.
Now, I thought about this too, but it could be kind of fun to do this as like an all-female version, like Three Little Pigs and the Wolf in space.
My exec ears have perked up.
And so I know that my comic piglet is going to be Awkwafina.
Nice.
Love it.
Yeah, she's very hot right now.
Now, if I'm doing the female version, who is going to be my toxic piglet? Who is good at playing toxic characters?
Michelle Rodriguez.
Michelle Rodriguez, yeah. Yeah, maybe. Michelle Rodriguez would be really good for that. I was also thinking the lady who plays Villanelle.
Jodie Comer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jodie Comer should be great as that character. And then for the character that lives, obviously, has to be incredibly talented, very beautiful. So maybe Zoe Kravitz?
Yeah.
The Wolf. Who would be a good wolf?
Ooh, how about Cate Blanchett?
That's it. That's the answer.
Devious?
Okay.
That's my cast. Cate Blanchett. Right. Jodie Comer, Awkwafina, and Zoe Kravitz.
See, I can totally picture that. Man, it's going to be hard to decide. These are both fantastic pitches that you clearly spent days working on.
Yeah, we've spent so much time thinking these up. That's why they're so genius.
So good.
It makes so much sense. In all seriousness, what are important traits that your main characters should have in order for you, Erica, the executive, to actually realistically buy into this? Because we don't want characters who are just straight up archetypes. You want them to be, you know, archetypes, but a twist on, they all have to be something we haven't seen before and compelling enough that the audience is going to root for them and want them to succeed.
Explain to me why they're not boring. Explain to me, and don't try to put too many characters in my head at one time, because even for, you know, like just, you know, respect to execs who you may think that I hate execs based on this material,
I know,
but
we're being so mean. There's some great execs
mean
out there.
But like, if I'm hearing 4 pitches a day, right, and people are asking me to keep track of their characters, for like, it really is helpful for me as a listener to be able to imagine someone, right, to be able to be like, all right, I can picture Cate Blanchett, I can picture, you know, Michael Shannon, whoever, right, and giving me just like a couple things to really remember about your main character. And then archetypes for the secondary characters will help me, you know, like obviously they'll be more complicated than that in the movie, but like in terms of just me listening to a story that you're telling, like it's very easy to overload any listener, especially an exec who has a lot of things on her mind.
You're right, Erica. We're being really mean to execs right now. And I know that all 3 of us have met wonderful execs.
Oh, yeah,
We're really just choosing the worst person we've ever met and then making them 100 times worse than they actually were.
Correct. And it's really good fun. Shall we move on to kind of like a setting/world thing? So how are you guys presenting a sci-fi world that I either haven't seen before or that you want to build off of?
Well, I would definitely say that the setting is sort of, it's the near future. Space is being colonized sort of a la... let's see, like For All Mankind or The Expanse. Even though I know this is a movie, those are both TV shows that are very successful and sort of recent. So it's good to give like a touchstone of help people imagine what the setting or the world is. You know, it's like this meets that. And Jess, I'm totally jumping in on yours, but I imagine yours seems a little bit more like Aliens meets The Thing. If you have you know, this infectious disease and you're on a space station.
It's important that you guys pick something that I can pretend that I have seen.
Don't choose the obscure French movie from the 30s or something.
Right. I'm going to have a hard time pretending that I've seen that. But I can absolutely pretend that I've seen The Thing or Life or whatever, you know, so.
Yeah, I forgot you gave Life, but that's a good example because that all takes place on a space station, so you can visualize it.
I also just realized another good comp for this might be Clue. Like, it would take it tonally in a totally different direction. But it's the idea of, like, whodunit if we don't know who the wolf is yet.
See, now an executive confused me utterly.
Yes, I know. I'm sorry. I take it back.
Is this aliens or is this Clue?
It is aliens. I'm sorry. It's aliens.
Jess, I'm having a bit of trouble understanding the tone you're going for here. If you could just clarify.
Yeah, just clarify. And then I'll just, like, spew out some gobbledygook.
Yes, you have clarified. Thank you.
So my setting, it's somewhere between near-fi and far-fi. Because this idea of space station, like, to me, that signifies, like, we're not at the place where we're.
Jess, I'm so sorry. Sorry to interrupt you. I just have a question.
Erica, you're getting a little too in character.
It's when do we meet the wolf in the story?
You meet the wolf in the first 10 minutes. You meet all the characters in the first 10 minutes. The question of my movie is, who is the wolf going to turn out to be?
I see. Okay, thank you. Yeah,
so that is the mystery of it.
Is the hook of your movie like the wolf killing or it sort of invading a la The Thing, like taking over someone's body? Yes. But we don't see who their next victim is. That's great.
Like that Fallen movie.
The other correct answer to my question, by the way, is like, oh, that's such a great question. We'll get to it.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I do that a lot in pitches for pilots, which is, you know what? I don't know the answer to that question, but I think that's something the writer's room and I will figure out.
You don't get to do that in features.
Oh, that's a good point, Erica. So if somebody, because when Jess and I have been in these meetings, generally if someone's like, oh, okay, and then what happens in season two, you're like, I will get back to you on that. Because you're allowed to have not figured out every episode of every season of your TV show when you're pitching it. But in your movie, are you expected to have figured out pretty much all of your big important core structural beats?
Yes, you are expected to have to know your core structural beats. It doesn't mean there's not questions that will be asked that you don't know the answer to. And your options are kind of either like to make up an answer, you know, based on your wealth of knowledge about the movie you're writing, or to be like, oh my God, that's such an interesting question. I'd have to think about that. There is a trick that is silly, but it works, in which you just say yes to any suggestions in the pitch. You know, like if I'm like, so Hannah, what if like the wolf actually in the end turns out to be the bad guy? And then you say yes, and then the wolf turns out to be the good guy again, right? Like, so I'm like, I got the yes to my incredibly dumb suggestion, and that's all I'll remember.
I don't know. I think maybe if the wolf does turn out to be the bad guy, I'm in. That's interesting.
So that's another answer.
Because I didn't see that coming.
Yes, and we're not improvers, but I feel like anything in a pitch is like yes and.
Yeah.
Even if the and is the exact opposite of what the exec suggested.
Yeah. The thing about this whole exercise is that while we totally have not prepared whatsoever for this pitch, this is more like what it's like to be in a writer's room than what it's like to be pitching a movie where you actually have had, you know, a month or two to come up with every answer to all of these questions. And yet you can spend all this time preparing for your pitch and still get thrown off by a question and just have to vamp. So even though we're completely pulling all of these answers out of our ass, this is not that far off from reality.
Right? You will absolutely have to make shit up on the spot.
Yeah. Okay, so that was part one of our Shake and Bake. Because we just have so much more to discuss about Three Little Pigs in Space and how we would pitch our takes, we are splitting this into two episodes. So stay tuned for part two. If you have any questions, please email us at untitledfemaledrivenpodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about. Or you can follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @untitledfemale. That's all I got. Bye.
Bye. Bye.